This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we do so with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Bell. In case you didn't know, we are your home. I know it's a crime to be talking sports all the time, according to some other people in town. We should go with the 1970s record review. But we are your official home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys here on Sean and RJ and the new quarterback using poker to get up to speed.
Yeah, this was Joe Milton. So last week, at the end of last week, we got a chance to go out to the Star and watch OTA practices. And there was a lot of Brian Schottenheimer stuff that we had gone over. But there was also some stuff from the players that we didn't get a chance to go over on Friday. And one bit about this was Joe Milton. It was our first chance really to get an extended talk to him since he had started working. And Joe Milton had been asked about, hey, this process of you're learning more, you know, Brian Schottenheimer's talking about how all the quarterbacks are developing. You're trying to pick some different things up. And they asked him, you know, how do you pick up an offense? How do you learn an offense? And he started explaining how his girlfriend and poker help explain it to him.
The best way to do it is learn by concepts. And then when you get time off, learn the formations, and then you'll be fine. Because the more you learn the concepts, the better you'll know where guys will be. But I feel like guys are different. I feel like for me and what one of my quarterback trainers taught me is use poker chips, put some letter on poker chips and move those guys around. Get a slip of white tape, make that your line of scrimmage and move that around because it's easier instead of drawing and erasing. So my girl, she'll have the script and she'll literally call out a play and I have to repeat it back to her. And then my poker chips will be lined up and then I'll just draw the formation or line the poker chips up in the formation, and then I move them around based off which routes they have.
Wow. This is the kind of stuff that, like, it's always fascinated me how different guys will learn, because a lot of them will use the chalkboard, like you talked about there. Others will use different, you know, technology that they have with the iPad and different things like that, but just classic old school. And he said it all started out with one day he was just doing some study, and she walked over, and she was like, what's this? And she just grabbed his play script, and he was busy with something, she just started reading off plays, and he was like realizing, like, oh, this is a good chance for me to actually get my recall going and to do some of this. And so that's basically been the way that he's attacked this now. He's really starting on, like you said, the concepts, figuring out different things with the routes and everything else, and then formations are going to be a deeper dive as he goes forward.
So Michael Irvin, Brian Schottenheimer put something together for the Cowboy Legends, Legends Day. Rocket was out there, Dorsett, Drew Pearson. And Michael was out there. We'll really get into this more tomorrow when Bobby does all the work for us and gets the audio together. But I listened to about three quarters of Michael's podcast recapping his amazing experience. The part I'm going to talk about here is they brought all the legends into the meeting room to put the guys on the whiteboard. Michael said when he was playing, all he focused on was his triangle. That's it. He didn't have to know what the left guard's assignment was. He didn't have to know what the other receiver was doing. All Michael had to know was corner, safety, is the inside linebacker there. That's it. His triangle on every play. And he said Brian Schottenheimer created the competitive environment and the pressure to put every guy up there, and you got to draw out every single assignment. Is that a no-brainer way to do things that George Pickens should have to know what the left guard is doing?
You know, real quick, you know, I was reading this thing. I think it was Revis said he would not really look at the guy he was guarding. He would look across the field during when they broke the huddle. He would look across the field because he knew based on how the other receiver was lined up and what the formation was, he knew what his guy was basically going to do. He could like kind of narrow it down.
Yeah.
And that's just like, and that's something you, I would never think about. But yeah, I can understand how like the position, the technical side of understanding what other people are doing would help you be better at what you're doing.
I remember it surprised a lot of people last year. There was something that on New Heights that Jason and Travis Kelce were talking about. And it was something to do with quarterback play or something like that. And Jason Kelce, they were taking questions from listeners, and he started explaining it. And he's like, basically, I'm going to have to stop there because that's all I know about it. He's like, Travis will have to explain the rest because I don't understand. I don't know that. And it's like somebody as Jason Kelce, who's considered, I think, a really high IQ player and everything else, was like, I have no idea what they're doing a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my responsibility. I don't know. Sean Lee was a guy who knew what everybody was doing. And there have been different guys before who, like, I feel like DeMarvian Overshown is somebody who generally knows what everybody's doing. So
yeah. I think Overshown, by the way, got his mom a house. So that was an awesome social media moment over the weekend. Dak with baby number two, another girl, and Overshown getting his mom her lifelong house.
And it's also, I think, when you hear, it's easy to understand why when Michael says, like, a lot of receivers just, I got me, my guy across from me, this over here. It's easy to understand why you sometimes will get the diva wide receiver a little bit. It's because that's like, that's the whole game to them, is what's happening right here and being locked in on that. And that's why they want so much of an edge there. But I think it's good. I think a lot of coaches who would argue against it would probably say it's time on task that's not needed or it's not necessary or whatever else. But I do think that there are benefits to it in terms of everybody knowing where they're supposed to be.
Joe Milton was also asked by the media how much of a surprise the trade from New England was.
Yes, it did catch me by surprise. Was I surprised? Yes. I kind of woke up around like 7 o'clock, woke up to a call, and I knew I was getting traded. And, you know, only thing I could have done at that, well, only thing I did at that moment was thank God. You know, I'm blessed. So coming here was a blessing. I didn't know it was going to be here. My agent said it was multiple teams that called, so I didn't know where I was going to end up. I was just thankful to go somewhere.
Why are you blessed to be here? What was it about?
Man, back in the heat, for one. They allowed me to play in the Dome, for two. For three, it's America's team. And then also, it's just great to learn from somebody like that.
Allowed me to be in the heat, but I get to play in a Dome. Is like, the Dome for the athleticism, but he also wants to be in the heat. So he's happy in the Dome, lifestyle.
I think he hated living in the cold weather is what his issue is. But
which is weird because he chose to go to Michigan to start his college career.
And then he was like, get the hell out of here. Let's go to the humidity in Tennessee. I thought it was interesting there. He said, I didn't even know I was getting traded, but he was saying, thank you, God. Like, and then he said that, you know, I was just happy to be going somewhere. Didn't even know where it was. I was just happy to be going somewhere. That, I think, lends to some of the chatter we've heard about New England. Like, something had soured there, clearly, where he just did not like the atmosphere or the culture or whatever else.
Oh, or the fact that maybe they weren't even going to give him a chance to compete for the job. They were just handed it to Drake.
I want to hear Brian Schottenheimer here. What is his backup QB development philosophy? So how is this going to be applied to Joe?
Ongoing. It never stops. I've had young starters and veteran backups. I've had veteran starters and young backups. I think the quarterback position is the position that it gets so much scrutiny that you're always trying to place an emphasis on, are they getting better? Are they being consistent? Are they doing the things that they need to do? But it really is, you try to piece that room together, maybe a little different than other rooms, because, like, for example, we had Mark Sanchez, who most of you guys know, in New York. We felt like we had to get a veteran to kind of help him understand the game and kind of what goes into it. And we went out and got Mark Brunell, who was surrounded by someone I know very well, Drew Brees, and was, you know, instrumental in Drew's growth in New Orleans. And so I think it is not a pairing, but it is something you do talk about, the mix and the match and how it looks. And I've been around other or heard other stories where some rooms didn't get along great. And that's never a good thing, but we don't have that here. We have a great room, and with Dak, Joe, and Will, it's been awesome.
So, look, as much as I love hearing Brian Schottenheimer speak and can't wait for the coaches show every Friday, not at 6:30 because Coach told us at the Combine that's way too early for him, he can't come close to what Joe Flacco did with his answer on the backup quarterback. They're talking about Shador and the drama and who's third. Are you going to be a mentor? Joe Flacco put on, and Choppy got this audio, an absolute clinic. It is by far the best answer that any quarterback in the history of football has ever given to the dilemma of mentor, the new hotshot, the rookie, all of it from Joe in Cleveland.
It's a talking point. You can kind of like use it, like, because it's a good question to bait somebody into answering. And either, and no matter how they answer it, it kind of makes the guy that's answering it look bad. If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing football. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys can write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already, there's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences, and I have a lot of experience, and I can talk on things, and hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And, you know, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room, and you naturally want to do that, you know. But that was a long-winded answer, but that's ultimately why I think you guys ask it, you know. Here's the thing is, like, because of what I just said, like, you're acting like I wouldn't want to be a mentor. It's not really about that. It's just not the main focus. I see myself as a guy that can play in this league. So if your main focus was just like, hey, bud, I'm going to get you ready, you're just not taking care of business. The best way to be a mentor, honestly, is, like, show people how you go to work, you know. And like I said, hope that they pick up on that stuff, but not necessarily force them to pick up on the things that you do.
That was a masterclass. That was amazing.
I've never thought of him as media.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, that sounds like somebody who is really analytical and would be a sharp mind. I don't think
I've ever sort of heard him talk that much.
Yeah.
When you think about specifically his situation too, like, he's a guy who got off the couch, like came out of retirement, like with his family. You're not coming out there to just hold somebody's hand. You're not just going like, yeah, I'll come walk away from my family to just teach you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what anybody wants. But I think it's
the dynamics of the relationship, though, and how things common sense wise would take place in that room was all laid out right there. I'm not in here to be over your shoulder and check your notes, but I am going to comment. And I'm going to be like, hey, guys, this is what I'm seeing with cover two. And I am teaching you, but I'm not here to be your teacher.
Yeah.
It's everybody goes through, like, everybody who's ever worked
any profession
around. If you've had somebody generally that's older than you, been in the profession longer, you're going to learn things from them. And it may not be a direct bit of commentary they give. It might be. Sometimes it might be, but other times it's just like just
picking up osmosis.
Yeah.
If Joe stops the sentence after "I'm not here to be a mentor," then he's an a-hole.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Then he's Favre, Rodgers, yep. And, well, Walsh and Aikman were the same age, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah. No, it's the same thing. I mean, and Rodgers, through his experience, felt he needed to approach it completely different with other guys. Like I need to be totally different with Jordan Love. I need to be totally... A lot of people...
Roethlisberger.
Yeah. I mean, look, Dak right now is... I think his reputation is more along the lines of what Aaron did. Like, Dak generally, and that may just be at this stage of his career, he's secure. And like, they're not coming for my job, so I don't have a problem helping them.
Yep.
Because they're going to help me along the way. And so, no, I mean, it's a fascinating
much easier
discussion.
To mentor someone who's not a threat.
Right.
Also, you're a much more natural mentor when you're as old, football old, as Flacco is.
Yeah, you're on the way out. You know that by the time they pick up everything you're giving out, your body's given out.
There it is, inside the star and around the NFL on the Dallas Cowboys flagship. That is us, also known as the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. More football and below the belt every day at 8:40 with our Cowboys Insider. And we have the Red Zone, your football fix, every day at 9:20 as well. But did all of your hockey worry go away after Pete DeBoer and Jake Oettinger addressed each other this past weekend? Little Stars clean up, and it's a new Music Monday as well. One of our brand new segments coming up next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again!
all the wild.
Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
All the weird.
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
That makes the MLB season special. Check out the morning lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Metroplex. Monday edition of Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Below the belt coming up at 8:40 on the home of the Cowboys. Just when we thought we had gotten rid of him, old Jake Rietma wanders into the studio as we recap Ottinger and Pete DeBoer.
Let's talk hockey.
The Stars end of season press conference. And this is a little combo cut of the both of them. Now, Pete DeBoer admitted he had not had a chance to talk to Ottinger, or he just didn't talk to Ottinger before these press conferences took place. Is there any chill between the two?
Yeah, listen, you know what? No one's a bigger fan of Jake Ottinger than me as a person or a goalie.
Pete said he believes in you. He's no bigger fan, but he did point out that you've lost 6-7 against Edmonton, and that kind of played into his reasoning. So I guess as you think about all the things that have been said, is there any concern about your relationship moving forward, working with him?
I mean, I think for me, it's just the whole experience. I think just I'm going to learn from it, and it's going to help me grow and be a better person, be a better goalie. You know, my job is to stop the puck, and, you know, I feel like I'm one of the best in the world when I'm playing well doing that. So that's all I'm going to focus on. There's no all the extra stuff's just extra stuff to me. So I just, you know, if I go out there next year and I'm the best goalie in the world, it doesn't matter. You know, one of you guys could be coaching and it doesn't matter. Like, it's so, yeah, just try to be the best I can be, learn from the experience and go from there.
That's not a no.
He did not say no.
He did not say no. That's not a no there at all. This is the dirty game the media plays where they ask a question and then they get the answer and they take the question to another person. A player, a coach, whatever.
Or the dirty game we're playing right now of reading between the lines.
Right, or reading between the lines. We're Twitter tales. It's the same. The tattletales on Twitter. Hey, G-Bag said this about you. You know? Like, it's a dirty game the media does. We all do it, though. We all do it. We're all guilty of it. And this is where the fans get upset because now they're going to blame the media for creating division.
Well, look, the question...
asking about it.
There's nothing dirty about that reporter taking it to Ottinger and saying, is there concern about your relationship? That is the question. That's the number one burning question. And Ottinger didn't say no, there is no concern. He then took it to wherever he took it. And you can take it wherever you want to take it. Yeah. How are you reading? He could have shut it down. But he was basically also saying, I'm a player. Doesn't matter who the coach is. These are my abilities I believe in.
But I certainly didn't get run through a brick wall for the guy from any of that. Like
that Jake would for Pete?
Yeah, right. Like, right. If haven't we all played for a coach where you're asked about that and run through a brick wall for him? I certainly didn't get that. And I'm not saying that's his, you know, he's not like a loud, charismatic, outspoken guy, but everybody's played for a coach where you would defend him to no end. And I just didn't get that vibe.
I agree.
I mean, he sounds, it's very easy to just at the front of that go, no, I mean, look, it doesn't matter about, and do that. He didn't want to say no. He gave a pause and then he said, look, learn, I mean, experience. Move forward. Yeah. Learn. You guys could be coaching next year. It's like, okay, well now you've put the media in as your coach too. So, yeah.
And compare that to the stark contrast between Duchesne's comments backing Jamie Benn. Like, that's what it sounds like to back somebody.
Absolutely, 1,000% agree. And Duchesne was also asked about Otter being pulled.
You know, I think what happened is you're trying to find a spark, and I'm not going to, you know, address more than that because I love both everybody involved in the situation, and you know, it's not on me to comment, to be honest with you. But what I will say about Jake is, you know, how much I've enjoyed getting to know him and be around him. He and I are quite tight, and he's a mature kid for what, 25 or whatever he is. And I mean, man, it's stressful enough going and playing a playoff game as a forward when you have a bunch of line mates and everything. You got this kid back there by himself, you know, trying to carry the, you know, the mail back there. It's, I have a lot of respect and admiration for him.
Ottinger said it sucks. It's embarrassing to get pulled like that. DeBoer said he has no concerns about his relationship with Ottinger. And then DeBoer also said, this is weird, Rietma, Before game four, the coaches had talked about giving Jake a rest because he had played more than any other goalie and they were worried he was worn down and he was also dealing with an upper respiratory thing.
There you go.
Yeah, how often do we talk about how tough hockey guys are? Can you imagine what the headline would be if Jake Oettinger sits out game four with upper respiratory thing?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Who are we trying to kid with
there? You're on the ice. It's cold. You can't breathe. It burns.
No. But here, I'll play a little devil's advocate here. Everybody has been a huge fan. Everybody within that locker room has been a huge fan. Dressing room has been a huge fan of Casey DeSmith all season long. Like, as he is known as a very, very good backup. And if he wasn't backing up Jake Oettinger, he would be starting for a lot of teams. Now, I don't think that is enough to carry the weight into, yeah, he's ready to start game four. I'm not saying that. However, Casey DeSmith is not your everyday backup.
You take anything else from all of them talking?
The buy-in to Jamie Benn was surprising because I'm getting labeled as a Jamie Benn hater, and I'm not that, because, and I put this on Twitter, on X, that I think his jersey belongs in the rafters and you cannot discount his entire career with the Dallas Stars, but Father Time is undefeated. There's a shelf life, but I heard you guys talking about a little bit, but the leadership component, I felt like there was a lack thereof when you didn't retaliate. You didn't do anything to defend Roope Hintz. I'm still hung up on that. I know it's one small thing, but the guy got his foot fractured, missed a game, came back and played game number four, and got hit again, and nobody did anything. And if that's what his strength is, this locker room guy, that would do anything for his guys, then show it. Then go out and do something about it and enforce that, because he's certainly not performing on the stat sheet. So what is he bringing to the table?
Is there a PFF for hockey? I'd like to know what Jamie Benn's number was for the year.
Natural Stat Trick would have something. I don't know if they do individuals like that.
Jamie Benn did say, I can't see myself anywhere else. I would be interested in coming back. Matt Duchene said the same as well, as you would expect.
They do have stuff.
I get all that, and that's why I don't want to be labeled a Jamie Benn hater. I think we can talk about a shelf life and being on the back nine of a career. That happens with every single athlete, and they're tough conversations to have, but I think what's transpired warrants that conversation.
877-881-1053, Franklin Franco Injury Attorney Text Line with Jake Rima in studio.
They do have stuff. If I had any idea of what I was looking at, I'd be able to read this, but he is number 194, but I don't know what that means.
Okay.
I don't know what that ranking of. I got to do a deep dive of this. Here, my question with Ben, and this is going to go for like basically the offseason. What if they're going to get rid of Jamie Benn? Fine. And I know he's not bringing a lot on the stat sheet necessarily, but he is one of the few guys that's an agitator.
But see, I heard you say that, but he didn't back that up in the most pivotal moment of the season.
He's a different guy. I don't think he's a retaliator. You know what I mean? He's just the guy that would just sit there and just knock your stick out of your hand for no reason.
Did he see it, number one? And number two, if he goes out and is in the penalty box to start off, the book on Ben lately in the playoffs has been stupid penalties that cost you.
Right.
And you're going to do it in an elimination format?
Well, you said this the other day, and I completely agree. It's not like he's not taking penalties. You might as well earn them. He was taking penalties anyways. Him and our guy Marchment they're in the box no matter what. You might as well get your money's worth for it.
Because I bet you every team is annoyed. Look, Marchment takes some stupid penalties, but you need that kind of
goofball. You need that the team that is finesse based and lacking that physicality, and that's why you need it. And I just didn't feel like it showed up in the most important moments of the season.
Thank you, Jacob. Jake Rietma here in studio on 105.3 The Fan. Brand new segment. It's a new Music Monday.
I'm Casey Kasem. Coming up next are the three biggest hits of the year.
I think Peyton has any idea who? I don't think he does. I think we asked him who Casey Kasem was and how young is Peyton Russell once, and he had no idea who it was.
Former DJ.
Yeah, but I think that you found that out through how young is Peyton Russell. Now that I think about it. All right, we had new songs.
Paid me, by the way.
Dropping over the which one?
Exactly, which one?
There's no, I'm saying which one? Which one? No, there's not a few.
The latest one.
Okay, well, you're gonna have to tell me what that is, and this is why I've told you to remind me 1,000 times he's like my wife. He's gonna pocket something until 2 months later, and like I could have told him instantly, didn't want to. I'm gonna hold this at some point. So now you've exercised it, Peyton. So when you get Venmo'd, now you're just gonna have to hang on to whatever disc I give you next. All right, we got new songs that dropped over the weekend. kind of weak. It's a big week for like the focus of like the artists that were out here dropping music, but it's just the actual quality. I don't know. First one, you're a big Tate McRae guy, aren't you, Chop?
Sure.
The F1 album, which we've played stuff from, they keep leaking something like every week from this thing. This F1 movie that's coming out, and they've got all this music that's tied to it.
Brad Pitt does not age.
Tate McRae has the latest single off of this one called Just Keep Watching. I'm kind of tired of the like echo chamber vocals over the unsa beat. It's like, all right, we're just kind of like repeating the same thing. I feel like a lot of the stuff that's come off this album has so far been kind of meh.
A little girly for me.
Yeah.
Little girly.
Easy Lover was a great song by Phil Collins and Philip Haley from Earth, Wind & Fire back in the 80s. This is not the same Easy Lover. This is a new Miley Cyrus track, Easy Lover, which Miley has gone through these weird evolutions the last couple of years, like in terms of the style of music that she makes, where it was obviously the pop early, then it was a little darker, then it was party music. She feels a little more.
She'd be a roller coaster to date.
100%.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Is she married or with someone?
She was with one of the Thor looking guys.
That was a while ago. I think she is married. I don't know to who. But Miley Cyrus has a new song out called Easy Lover. It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's a little bluesish. Like she's tried to like put this little bluesy kind of like soulful Amy Winehouse thing in lately. That it's working all right for because she's got the smoky voice. It's fine.
Change up, right?
It's fine. I'd forgotten honestly from the time I pulled it till we played just now what it sounded like though. Like that's just kind of what it is. Now the best song of the week I think that we got was from Leon Thomas. Who Leon Thomas? If you have children or if you were 15 years ago like Peyton, still watching the Disney Channel and watching or Nickelodeon, I think it was Victorious. Yeah. He was Andre in Victorious. Now Leon Thomas has like launched a big time music career after that, and this is his latest single, Not Fair. It's not fair. How you just gonna take off your clothes and sit right there? I like it. It's a nice little vibe.
I don't feel like, all right, behind the curtain, Bobby may not have wanted me to go. That's what we do on the show. So Bobby's always asking for feedback.
That's
how we're coming with new segments, annual fan survey. This segment is one that has Tolo's put on the block first.
Oh, yeah.
That they're like, I don't know about that. If there's one segment that needs to go, it could be this one. My problem, and it's not your fault, I don't want to sit here for 2 minutes and listen to a song. I can't. It's hard for me to judge it. I can't judge it.
I need to listen to a song 8 times before I even remotely come up with an opinion on it.
The 10, 15 seconds, I'm like, all right, now let's get into the main part, whatever the fancy musical terms are. So that's my issue with it right now. But the Tolos, they had put the hate on this the most of all the new stuff.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's quick. It's a couple minutes, right? So it's not super long.
We're all fighting for minutes, fighting for TSL.
Fighting for minutes, baby. But, you know, you're at the mercy of what's out.
I will say, songs. By the way, Alec Medford says that was a good choice. He likes that song. So he's jammed to that one. I will say that.
He would.
A lot of the, he sent me a picture of him meeting Leon Thomas when he sent that, by the way. I think that a lot of it too is we've seen like some of the stuff we're getting feedback from, and maybe this is how the segment evolves at some point. I don't know. There's a lot of like listeners who are like, hey, I've got a local band that I like, or they're like, hey, I'm in a band and I've got new music or whatever. And then it's the Tolo Music Hour, Sean.
It's the new music Monday for now here on Sean and RJ. It's DFW Sports Station. If you're unhappy with the Cowboys running back situation, you might want to cover your ears. That's next with our insider in below the belt right here on 105.3 The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time?
Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is Tyler Guyton about to break out? All thanks to Tyron Smith. More on that here in just a second in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by DNM Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Before we get to Tyler Guyton, he will be blocking ahead of God knows who as starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys this year. Right now, if I was to lean a certain way, we were talking about this out at practice a couple weeks ago, that if you were going to lean a certain way, you were probably saying Javonte Williams would probably start. There'd be some Jaden Blue in there, and then whoever else made the cut out of training camp. I will say, it's early, and it's really tough to judge the running back position when you're out at OTAs and there's no contact or anything else. Miles Sanders does look better than Javonte Williams. And so if it's just on merit and how they look, and if it continues to progress the way it has into training camp, I don't see how you would be able to say that Javonte Williams was a better option. Now, the only thing that might give Javonte Williams a boost over Miles Sanders in that sense is fully orbed game of being, that's a guy who will catch 50 passes out of the backfield too. And Miles Sanders isn't necessarily going to do that. So if you want that added benefit, you can take it.
Man, Miles Sanders started off his career in Philly at 4.6 a carry, 5.3 a carry, 5.5, 4.9. He was rushing for 800 or 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards in 2022 every single season. And then he goes to Carolina, 3.3 a carry, 3.7. The best offensive line in football. There's a stat. There's your running back argument right there for the offensive line determining. 5.3, 3.3. Philly, Carolina. There you go.
And he is...
25, 26 catches a year.
Right, and it's something where he immediately got to Carolina and just looked like inept and couldn't do much. That's why a lot of it is, you're right, it's going to be based on what you can have blocked out in front of you. There are some margins you can pick up on your own, but largely you're looking at what is blocked ahead of you and then how much of that meat do you leave on the bone. So PFF had their ranking out of the top 32 running backs. They've been doing this with every position, the top 32 at every position. So it's like, here's basically, there's 32 teams. Here's somebody who could start for every team, essentially.
I heard the quarterback list is a doozy.
The quarterback list was not great. Throwing Dak Prescott in the bottom half of the league. 17.
Yeah, good enough to do a couple times.
Yeah, it is. There you go. See, there's your sideswipe for the day. over at PFF, though, they ranked the top running backs. And as I was like searching through it, I didn't expect to see a Cowboys runner on here. There isn't one. But as I was searching through it, I just kept looking at it going, this looks like a nightmare list for Cowboys fans for everybody that they've wished for or thought they were close to getting over the last few years. The number one running back in the NFL, Derrick Henry. Ugh. Even above Saquon Barkley at number two. Number three, not a guy they ever thought they were going to get, but somebody who thought maybe if he could drop down a little bit, Bijan Robinson. Number six, already on this list, is Bucky Irving with the Buccaneers. Bucky Irving was a guy that if the Cowboys had their picks and hadn't traded them away with the Trey Lance trade, things like that, Bucky Irving very well may have been their pick at running back that year.
Ugh.
And they end up missing out on him. So you go down the list and go, okay, all right, we've got Bucky Irving now. Then you've got Ashton Jeanty at 13. Already they're putting him at 13 before he even plays a snap in the NFL and saying he's the top one. 15, Breece Hall.
Do you hate when they do that?
No, because I mean, they are trying to project out a little bit. It's just, I don't know what criteria. For a place like PFF that uses so much of their own grading criteria to carry over what the list is the next year, I don't know how they rank rookies. That's always puzzling
to
me.
You clearly hate it.
I don't necessarily hate it. I just have, like, I look a little sideways at it. Like, how are we doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't like the Julio Rodriguez praise instantly or some of the other ones where you put Trevor Lawrence up near the top very early.
And isn't Chip Kelly already trying to change Ashton Jeanty in Vegas?
Well, yeah, so they moved. They called it the Halloween, the Michael Myers pose, the Halloween pose. Mm-hmm. They said it's crazy. If you go look at some of his game film,
you can just do it on the fan cam.
Yeah, he's standing up. Like, he's not in a stance with his hands on his knees. He's literally standing up like he's Michael Myers, like holding a knife, just like where you the classic shot of, like, you just see him in the background, like, there he is, just standing.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, you've got to be in some kind of an athletic stance. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, and how did nobody at Boise say anything?
But why?
It was intentional. No, that was an intentional, like, that was an intentional set that they had him take. I don't know if they've ever explained it, but that was detailed. That was all the running backs were doing it at Boise.
But why change it?
And it's on the fan cam right there. That's literally how he would stand about ready to take the handoff.
Why change it?
I mean, I think for a lot of people, you're talking about, like, you need to get down in your stance, be in your 2-point stance so that you can go take the ball. It's like,
he's comfortable like this. It's obviously worked. I wouldn't mess with it.
It has worked, and that's the one thing that I would push back on if I was him. I was like, guys, you drafted me here.
Yeah.
Don't change me when you draft me. Now,
I want him feeling comfortable.
You want him feeling comfortable. Obviously.
Are you going to sell me that it's giving away runs or passes? You're going to have to sell me on that to make me change it.
I think it's more about just the explosiveness out of the stance. They feel like if you're in that kind of crouch 2-point set, you can burst a little better than just from an upright position like that.
Well, within his first second and a half, he may be in the position that you would be with knees bent and hunched over a little.
I guess I would say
I'm not doing this because this guy just died, but the sports science guy died, and it made me think of it. I would like to see within the first 2 seconds someone in a running back stance, how their body motion gets to where coaches want them to be athletically versus Gentes. I would guess they're ending up at the same exact spot at the time when they're getting the football. Or how much time is Ash and Gente losing in standing more upright?
Right.
That's a sports science thing to me.
I would say I would look at it.
It has to be enough for to win out over his comfort level.
Yeah, I would have to look at it like runner on first. When they're going to steal second, they're already kind of crouched a little bit. They're in an athletic stance. So they don't have to, you know, when they start running, they just turn, they pivot and they go. Or a sprinter. Right, a sprinter is down in that 3-point stance as opposed to standing upright.
Yeah.
Although I guess they stand upright for some cross-country runs, but...
Yeah, I think it's probably just related to activating the quick twitch muscles quicker, like just being able to explode out of it faster. But it's still...
Chip Kelly, I'm going to be here longer than you, bro. So
he may want to listen to me. Yeah, he has said that it makes him see better. Okay.
He's a short guy.
Yeah.
He's a little guy. Breece Hall is number 15 on this list from PFF of the top running backs. Number 18, Tony Pollard, who you said goodbye to just a couple of years ago. 19, Aaron Jones, another guy that Cowboys fans said, can we at least make a phone call on the guy? 24, Omarion Hampton with the Los Angeles Chargers, who was mocked pretty frequently to the Dallas Cowboys. Quinshon Judkins at 27 from Ohio State, who the Cowboys entered day two really liking him and being interested in him. Right behind him, Travion Henderson, the Ohio State running back with the New England Patriots. And then number 30, Tyrone Tracy with the Giants, who was a guy that the Cowboys were like, all right, that's our last back here. And he got snatched up when they were in that purgatory zone a couple years ago. So a little bit of a rough look at where running backs are across the NFL right now, because there are about a dozen guys on that list that you look at and go, Dallas, it felt like, was within range to do something about all of these guys, and now you've got nothing. Now, like you said, Sean, you can fix this, a lot of this, as long as your blocking is better. And Brian Schottenheimer had talked last week, kind of went out of his way to bring up Tyler Guyton.
Where was Jahmyr Gibbs on that? My favorite running back?
Jahmyr Gibbs was in the top 10. He was at number 4.
Okay, behind Bijan.
Yep. So he's behind Bijan, Saquon, and then Derrick Henry. Tyler Guyton got a lot of praise last week from Brian Schottenheimer as being, hey, he was one of the first ones right in the building during the offseason program. He's been in here working really hard. He's had a fantastic offseason. So he got a chance to talk to reporters on Thursday, and he was asked about why were you so aggressive getting in here and attacking this offseason?
I had a lot to prove. I had a lot to work on. You know, I didn't do too good last season. I want to do better. I want to be the guy to be depended on. I mean, of course, there's going to be ebbs and flows, but I understand that, you know, it already happened and it's in the past, and I'm going to move forward from it and learn from my mistakes. I'm not going to make any excuses. I just didn't play as good as I needed to last year, and I'm coming with a different attitude this year to become a better player.
Which I think a lot of, again, the concern last year with Guyton was, like we're talking about earlier with Jack Leiter, for instance, it was mindset. And, like, how much are you, like, actually mentally built and ready for failure and for struggles? Because that's a Mozzie problem. Mozzie hangs his head too quickly.
Yes.
And it's something that I think they got a little better at last year. You hope that it's good this year. But I think Guyton had a little bit of the hang your head syndrome.
Guyton has cleaned up the diet. No more fried or fast food. Lots of steak, salmon, and vegetables. And the most difficult thing for him to give up? Do you know, Bobby?
I do.
All right. It's a fast food chop. I didn't know about it till I moved here. And the thing that threw me off about this place has something to do with their sauce. Those are my clues for you.
Something to do with their sauce. Oh, Cane's.
Yep. That was his.
Nailed it.
That was his most difficult give up.
Okay. I can see that. I mean, it's good. I like it.
Which he even said. He was like.
Crinkle fries. I love crinkle fries.
He had mentioned it. He was like, you know, it wasn't even really difficult to give anything up. He's like, but Cane's. He's like, I would just get a Caniac combo and crush that. And it was no problem. But he was at both of the retirement press conferences this year for Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. He had obviously been a teammate of Zach Martin's, but Tyron Smith, he didn't know him. And yet he still showed up. And he was asked about showing up to that and how he was inspired by Tyron's presser.
I feel like I almost got emotional watching Tyron Smith because, you know, that's a guy that I look up to. And, you know, I want to follow in his footsteps and being a great Dallas Cowboys left tackle. So, you know, hearing his legacy stretch across a decade is just extremely a blessing. And I want to fit that mold. So I learned a lot from him, actually. I watch a lot of his tape and I listen to the things that he says in his pressers and how he carries himself, how he takes care of his body. His strength is a big part of his game. So getting stronger is going to help you do anything on the football field. So that's the main thing.
It's funny. He said, I listened to his pressers. I learned a lot. He did. Oh, boy. Tyler Guyton was brief on Thursday with his. A lot of those that we just played, that's like three or four answers that were like, here they are with the questions cut out so that you can just hear him put together the whole thing. But definitely more reserved. Seems more comfortable. Like seems more comfortable.
More reserved, but more comfortable?
Like in terms of just, I think he's focused. He's focused on, all right, I'm here. I understand what the offseason program is like. I'm coming in here to work. I'm not coming in here to do anything else other than just focus and get things done. And I think the Cowboys have a really good history of offensive linemen locking in and focusing and taking year two jumps. Tyron did it when he was younger, but Terrence Steele's done it in recent years. Tyler Smith took a big jump. You got it. I mean, obviously Zach Martin came in ready to play right away, but Lyle Collins did that for you. So I think personally, there's reason for optimism on Guyton. Because, I mean, I don't know about for y'all, but for me, I thought it was a little nuts that we went from him just stonewalling Micah Parsons on several practice reps in Oxnard, and we're all floored by that, to just after one season that was kind of in the dumpster to begin with, going like, the guy can't play, he's a bust. We need to figure out something else at left tackle.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
And I think it's because, though, the recent experience with Jalen Tolbert.
We're used to first round, especially offensive linemen around here, coming in and being pro bowlers.
Well, and in recent years, you've seen a Jalen Tolbert who struggled right out of the gate and then didn't change it. Mozzie Smith struggled right out of the gate and didn't change it. And so now I think they're just like, this is third year in a row. This is another guy. How can we bank on this?
B-Lo.
D-Belt.
Every single day at this time on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. And we are also your home of the Texas Rangers with a Rangers ticket giveaway every single day during the 720 Expressway. Congrats to the Tolo who won that. Don't get too angry at me. I'm just brainstorming, but I'm really considering the Rangers trading Jake or Jack next.
This podcast is brought to you by Minced Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Minced Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MINCE-TEA today or visit MincedTeaClinic.com. That's MincedTeaClinic.com.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.